Hi everyone, this is Nina. Welcome to another episode of Mommy Talks with Nina. How are you all doing? I hope everyone's doing well. Hope everyone had a good work week, a good productive week. Happy that it's Friday and the weekend's finally here. As I'm sitting here recording, I'm just looking out the window, happy that the sun is out. Happy that it's not raining anymore or cloudy. So it brings really good energy when the weather is nice and the sun is out. So I hope you all enjoyed my last episode. It was titled Pandemic and Pregnancy. And if you haven't gotten a chance to listen to it, please do. And always like send me feedback. I'd love to hear feedback. I'm on IG, Mommy Talks with Nina, or you could always DM me. On there, you can send me emails at mommytalkswithnina@gmail.com. So please give any feedback, questions, comments, whatever you might have. So today I decided to kind of switch gears and talk about something that's near and dear to my heart, which has to do with race and race in America. And I thought, well, why not specifically gear it for moms. So this episode is titled Moms and Race. So I know that race and racism in America has been a topic of discussion for many years. We've been talking and dealing with the same things for centuries. And in light of a lot of the recent murders and killings that have been going on, it really has had people talk about race a lot more. It has had people question their own biases and stereotypes when it comes to certain groups of people. I've noticed that. And it also has had people kind of get in touch with themselves and their own privilege or lack thereof. So with everything that just has really been going on, and like I said, for centuries, it had me think about when I first encountered race or racism here in America. And I would say my earliest memory would have to be in elementary school. And I don't really remember if I was in kindergarten or first or second or third or fourth or even fifth grade, because my elementary school went from K through five. But I do know that I was young, and I was in elementary school, and I do remember being at school and on the playground and wanting to play with a group of white girls, going up to them. And I don't remember if they were in my class or if they weren't in my class. Maybe some were, some weren't. I won't really remember because it was so long ago. But I do remember going up to them and asking them, oh, can I play with you guys? Or something of that nature. And one of the girls I remember spoke up for the entire group of girls and said, no, we don't play with black people. So when she said that, I didn't know what she meant by that. I was young. I was very confused. And I kind of just went away and continued doing what I was doing. And I do remember telling my teacher and my teacher speaking to the group of girls. And I know I went home and I told my mom and dad about it. And we had a conversation about it. I don't really remember how that conversation went, but I just remember feeling sad and confused, like, okay, you know, why can't we all play together? We're all friends. We all go to the same school. What was wrong with me? Why didn't they want to play with me? So that was my first encounter with racism in America. And for me, what really got me thinking more about racism, I guess, years to come, and when it really kind of hit home for me, was when Trayvon Martin was shot and killed by George Zimmerman in 2012. I remember seeing that case and seeing everything that happened and seeing it play out on TV and listening to the news reports and reading the articles. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, like, how could this happen in America? So 2012, I had only been out of college, what, maybe almost a year. And I was home, back home living with my parents. So this is something that we would see every day on the TV. And I just didn't understand how this young man, so young, how he was unarmed. He wasn't doing anything wrong. And how he was killed and he was shot and he was just walking to a 7-Eleven in Stanford, Florida, and he went to get Skittles and a can of Arizona iced tea, and he didn't make it back home. And that just made no sense to me. I really thought that this case was cut and dry and clear, and I didn't think that things would turn out the way they did when the trial happened. I was thinking, well, they have the man who did it. They have George Zimmerman. Okay, this is easy. Arrest him, go to trial, send him to jail. The family will get the justice that they deserve. But that was not the case. And it was sad to me. I watched the entire trial on TV. I thought that George Zimmerman would go away. I thought that he would. And it was just mind-blowing to me when he got off. It was mind-blowing to me when George Zimmerman was found acquitted after claiming self-defense, something as self-defense, when who should have been defending their life should have been Trayvon Martin, not Zimmerman. And I was just confused, and I was angry, and I felt hopeless, and I did not have hope in the justice system. And that was the first time I ever had to come to the realization that in America, is the justice system really just? Is the justice system really for us? Zimmerman said, well, you know, he was wearing a hood. He was covering his face. You couldn't see him. People were saying Trayvon was up to no good. He was just walking around and looked like a threat. But he was actually a young kid who did not deserve to die, who had so much life, so much growth, and so much potential in life. And for his life to be cut so short at a very young age, I just did not understand, and it made no sense to me. Trayvon was only 17 years old, 17 years young, and I was mind blown. And after that case, it really had me think about Emmett Till, who was brutally murdered in 1955 in Mississippi, lynched and tortured after being accused of offending a white woman in her family's grocery store. So that was in 1955, Emmett Till. Trayvon Martin happened in 2012 in Florida. Have we really come so far? Have things really changed? These were questions that I kept asking myself, and I wanted answers to, but I could just not find the answers anyway. How could Zimmerman be out walking free, a free man, when Trayvon Martin's mother and father were grieving and had to bury their son? Then after that, things did not get better. They actually got a whole lot worse. Michael Brown in 2014, 18 years old, fatally shot in Ferguson, Mississippi. Tamir Rice, 12 years old, Cleveland, Ohio, 2014, boy with a toy gun, he was shot. And many others since then. Ahmaud Arbery, jogging, 25 years old, South Georgia, pursued by armed white men. Has anyone gotten justice? Has anyone been locked up? No, and that's the sad thing. George Floyd, 46 years old, May 2020, black man in Minnesota, Breonna Taylor, EMT worker, 26 years old, shot in her home in bed sleeping in Kentucky. Three white officers kill her. For what? More than 20 rounds. She was shot at least 8 times and pronounced dead at the scene. And this was March 13, 2020 of this year. And going back on George Floyd, he was arrested outside of a shop. A white officer knelt on Floyd's knee 8 minutes and 46 seconds, and it was shown on video in Minnesota. Black man, 46 years old. And it's happening every day, every minute and every second, to black men, to black women, to people of color. And where is the justice? Where is the justice? Still no justice. So while Trayvon Martin's case back then had me thinking about what it would be like to raise a black son in America, I always knew I wanted kids. I always knew I wanted to have a family, but thinking of having a son, a black boy, growing up in America was terrifying. Very terrifying. The thought of him being murdered, the thought of him being killed and something happening to him, the thought just, I didn't even want it to cross my mind. So, and I also thought of how would I talk to my son one day about how it is to be a black man in America, how to protect yourself in this country, how no matter all the good things that you do, the nice smile you have, the charms and the looks, no matter the job you have, the degrees you have, no one doesn't see that. They don't see your job when they look at you. They don't see your degrees. They see a black man. They see a threat. And that's the sad thing. I remember during all the protests and everything, the marches that have been going on, I remember some signs that said, "When do I stop becoming cute and become a threat?" Or was something along those lines, like, when am I not cute anymore and when am I a threat? And basically that's meaning to say when I'm young, when I'm little, when I'm 1 and I'm 3 and I'm 6 and maybe even up to a certain age, I'm cute, I'm this cute little boy. But then when am I not this cute little boy anymore? When am I a threat? When are you scared of me? That's sad. And that just made me think, how will I ever talk to my child about race? I didn't know back in 2012 or 2014 if I was going to have a boy or have a girl, but I knew if I had a boy, these are the things that would cross my mind. And I was hoping and praying to God that this wouldn't have to be a conversation that I would have to have with my child. I would have never thought in 2020 we would be dealing with the same issues that we were dealing with in 2012 or 1955 or 100 and centuries of years ago. I did not think that. So talking to your children about race, I know now more so than ever and recently on social media, parents want to know, well, how do I talk to my children about race? How do I have that conversation? When is it the right time? Well, I'm going to say that you can start early. Early. As a newborn, you can read books to your child, newborn, infant, as soon as they come home. Read them books that show themselves in the pictures. If you have a black daughter or a black son, read them books and stories where they can see that representation of themselves. So I know for my son, he loves to listen to stories and read stories entitled Chocolate Me, Please Baby Please, Peekaboo Morning, Jumbari Jumps, and Wolf Baby. Those he loves. And he loves reading them because, well, they're great stories, but he's heard them since he was so young, but also the characters, and he knows the words, and they really make a difference in his life. It's a part of his life, a part of his daily routine. He'll pick up one of the books and want to read them. So I would say at an early age, have that representation for your child to see themselves in the picture books. You can read to these books to them as early on. You don't have to wait till they're 5 or 6 year old. They can be a newborn or an infant. Also, I would say representation matters. Representation shows blackness. It really does. So make that a part of the daily routine. Make it a part of your child's life. As children get older, I would say, and when they get older, instill in your child, especially if they're children of color, black and brown children, I would say most certainly instill in them self-esteem and loving themselves. Maybe have your child say affirmations in the morning and in the night, like affirmations that say, well, you are smart and you are kind and you are loving and you can do anything. Build that self-esteem in your child. You can't wait for someone else to build that self-esteem and confidence in your child. You have to do that yourself as their mother, as their father. Show them confidence. Show that you love yourself. Show that you are caring and kind and smart. And you can instill that into them so that they can believe that and they can know that about themselves. Where if anyone tries to tell them otherwise, they will say, no, I am loving. I am kind. I am smart. I can do anything that I want to do if I put my mind to it. Instill that. Maybe have them repeat that when they get older, morning and night. And you can repeat it with them. You do it so you can lead by example. Show them what to do. You can have the conversation with your children about race early on. I don't think you have to wait till they're 15 or until they're 10. Do it as early as you think as needed. Have conversations with your child. Teach them that they matter, that they're loved, that they're worthy. Teach them to love all people. And this is for anyone, whether you're white, whether you're black and brown, Hispanic, Asian. Teach your children early to love themselves and to love others. Teach them kindness and respect. Teach them that you have to treat others the way that you want to be treated. If you are being disrespectful to people, they will be disrespectful to you. Teach them kindness and respect for all people. Teach them to be respectful to their elders, respectful to adults. Being respectful and kindness will go a long way, and it is so important. I remember when I was young, my mom and dad used to always tell my sister and I that the first teaching starts in the home and not in the classroom. And I never fully understood it when I was young, but more so now, being an adult, being a mom, I really understand it more so. The first teaching does start in the home and not in the classroom. You can't wait for the school to teach your child about their history and who they are. You need to teach that at home, day one, right away. You can't wait on the school to do your job, because the school might not do it. And a lot of times for black and brown kids, it's not happening. The schools are not teaching them to love themselves. They're not teaching them their history. So you have to teach them their history, and you have to teach them to love themselves. And you have to teach your child that we come from kings and queens. We are royalty. Okay? Things did not start with slavery and slavery alone. We were kings and queens and mathematicians and scientists and thinkers from the start in the motherland in Africa. So teach your children at home. I feel like if we do more as a community, our black and brown community and people of color, if we teach our kids at home, I think things would be a lot better for us. And we need to do that. And we need to teach our children to love and respect differences. And we need to do that ourselves, love and respect differences. Differences make us unique. We can learn from one another with our differences. We can. We don't have to be afraid of someone's differences, scared of someone's differences, but we can learn to love someone's differences and appreciate them. Appreciate them. I think that's the problem in America today, and has been a problem, is that we're so scared of someone who doesn't look like us, someone who doesn't speak the same language as us. Like, we're scared. We're intimidated. We find it as a threat. No, embrace it. Love it. We don't all have to agree about the same things, but we have to love one another. And I think if we do that, I think we would be better off. So I would tell any mom to be, anybody who wants to be a mom, any dads, any parents, any mother, father figures, it's never too early to talk to your children about race. It's never too early. You can have that open discussion and you can have that dialogue. And if you think that they're still young and that they won't understand, put it in simple terms. Whether it's reading a book or a story, or just having some open communication and dialogue. The children really are our future. They are. So we really need to pass our knowledge and our love and our respect to our children, so hopefully they will grow up and live in a better world. I want my son to live in a better world. He's only one now. But do I want him living in this same world 10, 20 years from now? I hope not. I hope the world is a better place. And I hope you all want the world to be a better place. And I think we can start with ourselves, with our families, and then bringing it out to our communities. I hope we can have open dialogue and conversation. I hope you all have learned something from this episode. And let's continue the work. Let's not stop. Let's bring change and justice for all. I love you all. Bye-bye.